Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by Coronation, hosted on JitteryMonkey.com, iTunes, Stitcher, at Coronation, and Jittery Monkey. It's where you can go and find the audio for these almost weekly shows. We took last week off, but we're back because there's a lot going on. Later today is the Nebraska football spring game, and we'll get to that in a minute. My name is Greg Mahochko, and joined as always by my good friend, fellow Husker fan, and longtime broadcast buddy, Mr. Brian Toll. Brian, how are you feeling, sir?
I'm okay.
All right.
I'm okay. Everything will be okay.
It's been a week, man. It has been a weird week in Nebraska athletics. There's so much excitement, as there is every year, for the spring game. But that's not all the excitement that's going on. We have sports from all the seasons who are, you know, active right now. And baseball is trying not to give away a weekend, conference weekend series opener. But that is what that is. We've had some Nebraska ball news this week, and obviously the spring game, which I know we'll focus some time on. But let's jump first to the Nebraska women's bowling team.
For God's sake.
What?
Okay. All right.
We got to talk about it, right? I mean, we have to.
All right.
I don't say this to brag. Obviously, I want the Husker women to excel and succeed and bring home championship. And I don't know, unless there's a bad second day. I mean, they're solely on the consolation side now, correct? Or how does that work in national tournament time?
Yeah, how that works is they're starting this morning. They got to win three matches to make the TV show tonight. Basically, what it is they got to bowl Maryland Eastern Shore, who has not really looked great in this tournament, and then the winner of that match, should it be Nebraska or Maryland Eastern Shore, will have to beat Vanderbilt twice. Vanderbilt is undefeated in that side of the bracket. If they beat Vanderbilt twice, they will go to the show if Vanderbilt wins either match, first match or second match. That brass side of the bracket's over, and they are in the show.
Gotcha.
So and then the real key, the kicker was, you know, winning your first match is one thing, and that's cool and dandy. But if you can get the 2-0 during this tournament, it's been proven 2-0 on this first day of the tournament. You do really do a lot of damage on that, because it makes life easier. It gives you a chance to, you know, have a bad set or find a bad pair or something like that. So. And the bad thing is Nebraska needed to be second, third, sixth, or seventh. Avoid McKendree, which is probably as good as a team as Nebraska is, both mentally and physically. And McKendree, and they're from your neck of the woods.
Lebanon, Illinois. I have walked on their campus several times. Well, that's a fun story, but we won't get into it here. So carry on.
Their coach, Shannon O'Keefe, is a Division II Coach of the Year. Her husband, Brian O'Keefe, who bowled for University of Nebraska's club team, is the current coach of Junior Team USA.
Huh.
So they're pretty good. They're tolerable, you know. That all being said and done, you know, it's really kind of hard to it's hard to get through. There, you know, my statement always was there was like two or three, you know, there was like three, maybe four good teams, really good teams in this tournament. Nebraska, McKendree, Arkansas State, you can say, but I'm not really sold on them. And then Stephen F. Austin, the defending national champs, just because Stephen F. Austin's just the volume of good players that Stephen F. Austin have was fine. Well, they went to a barbecue today, which is really surprising. And granted, only one team's going to win. And, you know, and I get that.
Now, did I – correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't I hear you – or not hear, but see you say something in our Slack chat room about how it's Division 1, 2, and 3 all at the – I mean, yeah. Are all the teams vying for the same trophy? I mean, because I know at least, like, McKendree is not obviously a Division 1 school. So they're taking the best from every division and taking the one winner from there?
College bowling is kind of really weird like that. There's two. There take two versions of college bowling. There's basically NCAA level, okay, and then there's what Nebraska used to be with men and women before they went to the NCAA level, class club level. You can participate in both. Eastern Shore does it. McKendree does it. Stephen F. Austin does it. It costs a lot of money to do so. You have to be really. You're pretty much on the road every day. For 4 months at a time. Nebraska technically could do it. I kind of wish that Nebraska would do it. That being said, it's really kind of weird to do so because you get so out of track.
On the academic side of it?
Yeah.
Just going back... let's see, 15 years or so, I did have a buddy of mine who, you know, I went to high school with, and he got, I guess, scholarship. I mean, he went and bowled at McKendree for a year or a semester or something. Found it wasn't for him, went to a community college around here, and I mean, now he's in the Air Force, and he's stationed, he and his lovely wife and their two darling little girls are stationed over in Germany. But he hates Nebraska athletics because he was stationed at Offutt, and you know it's all Husker all the time. And he's like, I don't really hate it, but man, it's just so overwhelming. He said I grew to have a disdain for it. So he gives me crap. I give him crap for being in Omaha and in Nebraska, never bringing me back any Husker gear. So it's a good time.
The weird thing is, you know, Nebraska was really good both men's and women's teams before NCAA play kicked on. But one of the rules with NCAA play is if you're your women's go NCAA, then your men can't really practice in the same. They can't, you know, technically they can't even practice where the women practice in each union. The ball contract's got to be different. The apparel contract's got to be different. Nebraska's contracted with Storm Bowling Products for bowling balls and such, and Dexter for shoes, and Nebraska can't share that contract with them. Whereas if you're a club sport, great example, Midland up in northeastern Nebraska or Wichita State. Wichita State's a great example. You know, they share contracts with Brunswick and with Dexter, I believe.
Is that Title IX affiliated or related? Or
is that what? I'm sorry.
Title IX. I mean, is that, you know, trying to keep the balance of, you know, the numbers of you know, men and women in their respective sports?
Kind of, sort of. It's more like I would say a money accounting housekeeping thing.
Gotcha.
When you're a club sport, you don't get a lot of perks. You travel to tournaments primarily by van or by bus.
Not the comfortable way.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, it's not great. I wouldn't say it's great. I mean, but it's not bad. But let's say the difference is this. When you were mid-90s at Nebraska for club sports, both men and women – tournaments you normally went to by van, unless it was nationals, and you went by plane. You stayed at the Motel 6 or whatever.
The Best, you know, Western.
Best Western, yeah. Now the women's team they get charter flights anywhere they go. There's only usually eight or nine of them going at a time.
Sure.
You know, bus everywhere, NCAA money, spending money on hotels, on, you know, hotels, food, such like that. So, it's not, it kind of seems, because the men now kind of have to, you know, get the table scraps and such. And they've done okay. They're not the level they were when the touring pros like Machuga and Mike Shady and Paul Fleming and all those guys were there. But, I mean, they're tolerable now. They're not great. They're probably never going to be great unless somebody really takes it under their sleeve and says, hey, I'm going to do take over it. So I get it, and I kind of dig the programs. I kind of wish the program was a little better. Just more of a selfish thing. And I am happy for the women because, you know, Coach Straub's getting the recognition he deserves. You know, that New York Times article was actually really probably some of the best stuff you'll read ever on that. That being said, you know, I kind of wish it was more styled like Wichita State, like it used to be. The big guys, the Indianas, the Wichita State, the Vincennes, the Kansases, you know.
Did you just say Vincennes?
Yeah, Vincennes.
Been there too.
It's still actually a pretty decent school. I mean,
now it's a community college.
Yeah. So.
But yeah.
All right. There's your bowling part for the day. So.
Well, in the time that you explained that, and we obviously appreciate it because it's fun hearing the history. And I know the Big Red Cobcast boys had. Did they have the bowling coach on at one point?
I don't think they had Straub on ever. And to be fair,
they had like a cross country or tennis or golf or something coach on.
What I'll say about Straub is this: if his daughter wasn't on the team now, he probably would have retired by now, and Paul Klempel would have been your coach. The year that he tore his aorta, he should have probably died in the East Union. Fortunately, he didn't. They saved him.
That was nice of him.
I think what is keeping him there, his daughter's still there. His daughter was a really good volleyball player out of Pius. And in the long story short one, that was they were going to retire and watch her play volleyball while she repped her in Achilles. And, you know, she's not a bad bowler. I don't know if she's as great as I would think she is. And that's not to be mean. I'm just saying for the talent that he's taken and gotten in Nebraska, I don't know where she mentioned that, but she's done pretty good for him this week in Baton Rouge. So I think when Megan's done, and she's got 2 years, I think when Megan's done, he's definitely going to probably say, you know, I'm good. You know, here you go, Paul. And technically, I'll argue this, he's probably the most successful coach Nebraska has right now with, and I'll put along to John Cook. I'll put along the lines of Gary Pepin. You know, for what he's had to go through and what he's also had to deal with, you know, personally and,
sure,
you know, the way he kept that. Remember, he wasn't getting paid much when they were as a club sport.
No, absolutely not.
You know, he really digs, he really likes what he's doing. You know, and part of it is, you know, I think what helps is, you know, he's stayed local to Lincoln for so long. It's not like it's a traveling thing. You know, he also, you stay local to Lincoln. You remember he was on tour before he went out. Famously, Bill's famous pipe on tour, and this is interesting. If you ever Google Mark Roth, you know, the first time they ever made the 7-10 split on TV, Mark Roth did it in the late 70s. Straub was his opponent on that match, which is actually kind of funny. So, So there you go. So, all right, what else are we going to talk about?
Well, in that time, we have a final in the Nebraska ball game.
Whatever. Damn it.
Well, we got to at least mention it.
Yeah.
10 innings, they go to a spare frame, and Nebraska falls by a run. The line is the Iowa Hawkeyes 7 runs on 13 hits, 2 errors committed. Huskers had 6 runs on 10 hits with 1 fielding miscue.
And I'll blame Ted Silva on this game because he kept in Jay Cohen, a not great Jay Cohen. So you probably went in too late, and that kind of killed it. So
anyway. They'll have an opportunity to bounce back tomorrow or today. Also, the Nebraska women's gymnasts are in kind of my neck of the woods, St. Charles, Missouri, Chaffetz Arena. I know they had the nationals are beginning this weekend for the national championships for gymnastics. So best of luck to the gymnasts there. That is a tough sport to get into, you know, because that's one of those, you know, you make that decision at like 7 or 8, be like, all right, I'm going to dedicate myself to gymnastics and I'm not going to have any fun ever.
It's expensive too.
I could see that. Yeah, for sure.
I got a friend who her daughter, she lives in Lincoln. She went to high school with me, and her daughter did gymnastics down there in cheerleading, you know, like not like the, not like, well, like regular cheerleading too, but also the,
like the competitive cheer.
Like the uber competitive bring it on stuff, you know?
The stuff that they have like on television when you're really bored. Really, really, really bored.
And that shit is not cheap. Oh, man.
Because they travel like every weekend, you know?
I wouldn't say every weekend, but close.
All right, well, close.
And when they go, they go to like big places. They go to Chicago. I know they're going to their little national thing is not next weekend, but the weekend after in Walt Disney World.
So I mean, at least they're going to fun spots, I guess.
And a couple of teams get their spot paid for, but you got to like spend some cash, you know.
Yeah, I think
spend some scratch on it.
I think the movie Bring It On really showcased all that.
Yeah,
punching tickets. All right, so before we get to the spring game, let's talk about another departure for the Nebraska men's basketball team. We learned about this week, although it seems like it's been a lot longer. It was earlier this week. Mr. Jacobson is heading elsewhere. We had to mention it, you know.
The thing that bugs me is about this. It's two cases with Morrow and him that it seems like they want to play a position that Tim Miles doesn't want them to play. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And both of them kind of resemble, you know, backing up Jordy. Which, man, I hope that doesn't mean if they hate Jordy. I hope they don't, but you know, I can kind of see Morrow being that guy, but I can't see Jordan Jacobson being that guy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, he's just not. Jacobson is a little better shooter. You know, I'm not saying he doesn't want to get dirty, but you know, there's getting dirty, and then there's you know. Being the backup to get your butt kicked inside every night in the Big Ten.
Right.
You know? That's fair. You know, I guess the problem I have is, you know, and this is what I said early about it when it happened. I said, you know, every time we've had something like this, the two things Tim Miles says is, oh, I'm just trying to make Nebraska winner, which I get he's got to say that. So I just get meh when somebody says that time and time and time again. Okay. But the other thing I hear is, well, we're pretty sure this is the last one.
Yeah.
Well, you kind of said that three times, and three times you're earlier in the minute. So not really meant it, but that's not how it happened. So can you not say it? You know.
Well, we know we learned the tail end of this week, Friday, where Mr. Fuller is going to end up. Is he's going to go up north?
Yeah. He's going to South Dakota to join Craig Smith, which is kind of ironic considering that ever since Craig Smith has left Lincoln, seems like Tim's had an issue, you know.
And he just went because he got an opportunity to be a head coach, right? I mean, there was not like a.
I think so. I think you're right on that.
Well, let's get to the real meat and potatoes of things here, and let's talk a little football, shall we?
Spring game recruiting.
First of
all the stars.
The future stars, yeah, the hopefuls.
Yeah, buddy.
Kickoff, however they do it.
Is that 1 p.m. and
we'll be able to watch a tape delay at about 4, I believe.
Yeah, something like that. And to be honest, I'm going to be blunt with y'all. If you didn't know this, we're gonna cover it as it happens live.
What?
Well, see, there's an issue when it comes to this. On one hand, if you cover it live, you're ruining it for me, blah, 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 blah.
But if you don't, then you're going to get scooped by everybody.
And then if you don't, say, well, that already happened. You guys are just behind. You guys are just slackers, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, there's no perfect way to do this.
That sounds like Monty and Gearing. Is that Monty and Gearing talking? Well, you guys are behind the times. We already knew all that.
Yeah.
Monty and Gearing, if you're listening, I'm just kidding.
Monty and Gearing, you should call in so I can make that voice right in front of him, because I'll do it too.
I don't even know if there is a Monty and Gearing, truth be told. But I know that there's a... Yeah, whatever.
We'll tell the crowd this. You know, there was a time, and I would say this like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and Greg knows about this. I was going to do a live post-game call-in show on the site.
Yep, I remember that.
And everybody kind of looked at me and said, "You know, you're kind of dumb for this."
I don't think so. I mean, we didn't have the technical capabilities to get it done and have it be we wanted it to be. But
we kind of sort of did. I mean, Block Talk Radio, which is actually a really good service. That being said, man, if I had been, you know, doing that like the day after the Iowa game.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We'd all been fired.
Oh my God. Yeah. And I wouldn't have been fired. I just probably would have needed gauze for my ears. I wish they could see some of the comments we get. That's something I should do this summer. Post all the silly. We should have, you know, where they read off the episode of reading tweets that are mean.
Kimmel, right? That's Kimmel, right?
I think so. Everybody does now. Yeah. Kimmel's the original one, but I think everybody does now. I think we should do comments that are mean.
You know what? I don't know if I could read those in good conscience.
Oh, I could. I could.
I know you could.
Smooth like Daniel's whiskey. Yeah. Nebraska got a commitment last night.
Which one are you talking about?
There was only one last night, sir.
Okay, because I forget. As we are explaining this and airing this, it's Saturday morning, but we're recording it Friday night. So I'm like, we got a commitment last night on Thursday? No. Because I was going to bring it up, but since you beat me to it, tell us about Bookie.
Bookie, he's one of the best corners in all the land. He's just really good. And of course, you know, this is what we deal with. You're one of the first guys that comments on the site says, sweet, he's good. Now we need 20 more of those guys to beat Ohio State, Michigan.
Yeah.
And my comment is, you know, can we enjoy this for 10 fucking minutes?
No, we can't. We can't have nice things because we want all the nice things.
And then one of the guys on our Facebook page, you always will visit us at Coronation's Facebook page, which is facebook.com/SBNCoronation. First one, he says, I'm glad he committed. That just means there's more time for him to eventually decommit.
Come on, listeners, Facebook goers. Let's have a little positivity. There's a young man who just made a decision to go from what appears to be sunny Southern California to Lincoln, Nebraska. Let's not crap on him in the first, 5 minutes that his decision's been announced. There's no need to be that cynical. We're a long time away from meaningful football. There's no need to be that cynical.
We read the comments. See what happened.
Yeah. See, it makes me sad.
But Bookie, let's talk about Bookie, okay?
Yeah.
He told Rivals that he was committed since the spring game last year.
Interesting.
And I actually believe that. I really kind of sort of believe that.
Now, where is Bookie from? I know he's Calabasas
kid.
Okay.
Calabasas kid. Right. He will be playing this summer. He went across the country this summer. So he's going to be playing at IMG Academy, which is in Florida.
How does that work exactly? I mean, I guess they don't care if you have enough money or potential. But, I mean, I imagine just like, yeah, I'm going to go coast to coast to play football. I mean, I guess if you move everything else.
There's a couple of kids from Southeast that did it. The one kid, Brock Bando did it.
Okay.
You don't have to be great. I mean, they're mid-level to pretty high-end star guys, but there's a lot of dissonation about that. Part of it is, it's an all-star team, and it kind of is. You're there more for football than you are for high school. Your high school's got to be kind of – your schooling's got to be kind of in tow. Not saying that everybody graduates and it's like a 4-0 there, but because Nebraska had that situation actually happened to him where – who was it, the kid? Oh, Jurkovic. Merkel Jurkovic. He was committed to Nebraska. He uncommitted the day after Bopolini got fired. He was at IMG Academy. He went to Ohio State, signed with Ohio State, but he got kind of pushed out because of grades to sign with Georgia, if I remember right. I mean, you're pretty good. You're going to be the good, So he's there. He's the top 40 player in America. He's the seventh best corner in this class, which I kind of don't disagree with that statement that I think he's a little bit of a better corner. No, he's the fifth best corner in this class on the composite. 24/7's kind of got him bumped down a little bit. I don't agree with it. Technically, right now, he's the seventh best player in the state of Florida, which is probably actually pretty believable. A litany of offers, and I mean a litany of offers. He had 36 total offers. We'll be playing in the U.S. Army All-American Bowl in San Antonio their last year. Their final year. Army's not sponsoring them anymore after this year in San Antonio. So, if you ever get bored, Google his Google their 7-on-7 videos. This dude is absolutely ferocious. Okay. Loves to hang in the air, loves to make interceptions with that. Kind of in the same mold. I wouldn't say the same mold as Darnay. I think Bookie's actually a little more aggressive than Darnay is. But same coaches, same philosophy, same scheme and everything like that. So
nice Jeep Wrangler, by the way.
His Jeep Wrangler.
In his video.
Yeah, sure. Okay. That's right. Watch the commitment video. Go find this piece and watch the commitment video. Cause
it will be on the post.
Everybody bitches and moans about commitment videos. And you know, they're for kids and it's their moment and I let them go, you know. But this one is really kind of
touching.
I wouldn't say sincere. I would say mature. Probably is a better word.
It's not. As I looked at it, you know, less. Because I remember seeing the Darnay one, right, on, you know, like the day before signing day or the day of signing day, something like that. And it was so much about himself. And I'm not, you know, disparaging, like you said, Brian, it's their moment to get a little bit of the shine on him. But this one seems, you know, it's really tough to describe. But I'm going to say, like you said, sincere, I said touching. You know, mature, you also said. So it's perhaps a different take on the, you know, high school kids commitment video. It'll be on Coronation on this post. It'll be on jitterymonkey.com on this post, so you'll be able to see it both of those spots. So looking forward to and yeah, you know, like some of the people who comment, you know, the naysayers, whatnot. He might change his mind, or, you know, worse, you know, in his senior year, there may be an injury or something like that that might knock him out of, you know, knock on wood. I don't want anything bad to happen to the kid. I don't want anything bad to happen.
Why you gotta be that guy, dude?
I knocked on wood. It's cool.
God damn. What the hell's your problem?
I knocked on wood, man. We cool. But I, you know, wish him, you know, obviously healthy senior year, and he is in Lincoln for the spring game today, is he not?
He was there for practice Thursday.
Okay, so he's on board.
He went to practice with Joshua Moore, who is joining him, who is a nice little wide receiver, pretty highly ranked, and Manuel Allen, who probably is Nebraska's next verbal four-star wide receiver out of Corona, California. He probably commits today.
Let me ask a stupid question.
Your name is Greg.
This is true.
You don't pee at a championship level, Tom Herman says.
Bookie, you know, as you said, he was there on Thursday and at practice. These kids, they're not able to, like, throw on a pair of shorts and
participatory.
No. I didn't think so.
Negative.
Which, again, I assume so, but I like to double-check things. I hate assuming. You know what they say about assuming.
Assumption's the mother of all fuck-ups.
That's not quite what I heard they said about it.
Yeah, well. So,
so with the spring game today, what are you looking for the most?
Kind of interesting to me. I think of this as a six half dozen built-in bitch fest, in a way.
Okay.
In one way, I'm looking for the defense. I want kind of to see what the defense can do in a base situation. I don't think the defense is going to be doing anything big, huge. You know, no super duper blitzes, no tricked out stuff. But I also kind of see, you know, there's this big fawning and foaming about the offensive line. You know. Where it's come from a couple writers, and you kind of ask yourself, why are people concerned about the offensive line? Well, it's just the offensive line. They were bad in both losses last year. Okay, and now? Well, you know, nobody knows. Well, okay, so if the offensive line does bad today, is it because the defense is good or the offensive line stinks? Consequently, if the offensive line has a great day,
is it because there's no pressure?
Line is goobered up or what, you know?
That's always the one thing that I always found was, you know, difficult to assess in when you're playing against each other. Because if, you know, if the spring game ends, you know, 70-10, you know, are those players that good, or the other ones that bad, or is it a combination of both? And again, I don't even know how they scored the spring game.
Now they're going to score a normal freaking human football game. Okay. Thank God. Two things I kind of want to see. Actually, make that three. as I think about it. Number one, I want to see the wide receiver rotation. Okay. Nebraska's thin at wide receiver right now. They get a couple guys, you know, this fall. Trajan, I think, but because of injury and such like that, they are thin mints at wide receiver. Okay. Number two, I want to see who's coming out of the running back thing. I want to see how good Wilbon is. Because remember last year, you know, Wilbon would play, but then you wouldn't see much of anything about him.
That's about right.
And then number three, I kind of want to see how that back seven works. Back eight. I guess you call it back eight now. I want to see how the linebackers in second. I want to see Lamar at corner, number one corner. I want to see what Kalu's going to do at safety. So, and I think it's I want to see how they mesh, how they're getting along with each other. Because, granted, wide receivers are not really healthy, and who the hell knows what we're going to get out of tight end. But you're going to be looking for two quarterbacks going to want to go 65-70% tomorrow. Three quarterbacks want to go 65-70% tomorrow. And it'll be interesting to see how that comes along. You know, can that secondary play pretty well, or, you know, are they gonna kind of get their butt handed to them by two guys? Not so much checking down, but using the whole field, which is something that we're not used to really seeing with Nebraska's offense. So
I'm just excited to, you know, after hearing about the practices for the last month or so, to just be able to see what kind of progress has been made across the board. You know, essentially what you said, I just dumbed it down for people at my level.
You know what's always funny about these games, though?
They don't tell you ever a whole lot because everything's so milk toast.
Well, it's like an infomercial. Think about it. You know, it's kind of like an infomercial. You get like the bare bones, but you got to find out more about what's going on later, you know?
Sure. So,
but also, everybody gets so pumped up about this game, and then all of a sudden, everybody's like, well, that's it, you know?
Do like, you the think first half that goes their by, anticipation is ill-placed?
The anticipation's way bigger at this game. Way bigger.
Now, in all fairness, though, I mean, I would say that it's less for the fans and less for the current players. But when you think about the fact that there's probably going to be upwards of 60,000 people there tomorrow.
They already sold 70,000 tickets, so it'd be more than that, boss.
Okay, let me rephrase. When you think about the fact that there are going to be 70,000 or more people there for this game, for a spring game, a glorified scrimmage, and they're bringing, what'd you say, 35, 40 kids in?
On their own dime.
On their own dime to watch. That
on Easter weekend.
Exactly. I mean, that to me is, I mean, this is less about the current team and the fans. This is a recruiting tool.
Well, that's why come next year you're going to be able to take an official visit starting in April. But here's the problem with that. If you can take an official visit in April, which is cool,
against you.
But you can't really take that official visit all of a sudden in October.
Right, yeah, you're still going to get the same amount of visits. You can just take one earlier if you want.
Yeah.
That's my interpretation of the rule.
It is, that's correct. I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's, it's not bad for Nebraska. They can take that visit. That's fine. What Nebraska's going to have to do then is going to have to get kids that, you know, we want to sign early in there.
Can I you're not going to like this question. Can I play devil's advocate briefly?
Sure.
As we alluded to with you know, comments and things like that on social media or on Coronation, there is a potential drawback to having someone commit so early that they might possibly change their mind. Is that right? I mean, how often is it that they say, you know what, I'm verbally committed. I've closed the recruiting process. Please don't ever, you know, don't contact me. That doesn't happen very often, I'd imagine. So,
top five no interviews.
Right. I mean,
like that. I just decommitted no interviews. In other words, this is what I've done for a while. I'm not going to listen to talked about.
Right.
So, is what it is.
Is it better to pick them up early or to be there at the end?
Early. And this will help Nebraska because, you know, Nebraska's been on the forefront of getting these kids evaluated, getting kids offers and everything like that. So what's going to happen is you're not going to have to worry about, you know, the big worry that everybody's had the last few years with the Riley and these types of classes is, you know, December, oh, are they going to get flipped at the last minute? Takes away all that. You know, these kids want to sign. If you're committed in June and you want to sign a week before Christmas, you're going to be able to do that. Okay. Now, if you're committed since June, July, and all of a sudden, I don't want to sign right away. Yeah, that's your red flag's going up.
So,
there's also room for kids that, you know.
So this is something that I might have missed or overlooked. So part of this rule change that they're doing, they're also adding an early signing period?
Yes, they're adding a early signing period in mid-December.
How that takes away half of your fun on National Signing Day, doesn't it?
It just makes me have two long-ass days, but sure. and I'm down with it because if you get kids that aren't going to flip and they're sure and they don't want to have coaches bugging them, yes, get them signed. You know, by all means. I mean, we can get an early signing day for basketball. We can get an early signing day for baseball, something like that. Why can't we do it for football? You know what I mean?
The only thing that I can think of is because National Signing Day has almost become an event by itself.
Well, yeah, it is. But at the same time, get this. Take some of the, I wouldn't say bullshit, but take some of the theatrics away. And by and large, you don't remember the class. You know, when you talk about National Signing Day, what do you remember? Do you remember the who's had the top five recruiting classes? Do you remember, you know, who was number one, who was what? Or do you remember the kids who made the big signing day, you know, hullabaloo? And they can still have that, and that's fine. But for Nebraska.
Are you asking me, or are you just making that more of a rhetorical question?
Kind of both. But rhetoricals, yeah.
Okay.
So.
Because if it's a rhetorical question, I'm not going to bother answering.
It's redundant. it's a redundant question from the department of redundancy department.
I like that. I used to work there.
But point of being is this. If you want to sign early, you can. If you want to wait till February, the first Wednesday in February, then no one's going to tell you not to. You know?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to take your visits... You know, if you want to take your visits in the middle of summer when it's easier for mom or dad to go with you, that's fine. No one's complaining about that. I would say that it kind of hurts Nebraska and that the game day experience goes away a little more, and that's fine. But you're still going to have game day visitors. You're still going to hold off on some of these kids to want to go there. But if you've had kids that have showed up a couple times for camps and everything like that, and you want to get them on the campus and, you know, show them what everything need to be, then fine, so be it. You know, it's not really hurting nothing. The schools are going to hate it are the Ohio States, the Alabamas, who fight, you know, wanting to flip, you know, have these big targets, and when they miss on some of the targets, and all these schools do, Nebraska, not the only damn school that misses targets, you know, they go, well, where can we go after kids? I mean, let's look at, great example from today, Terry Wilson. You know, in Nebraska, an early signing period, maybe Terry Wilson would be a corner scorer right now.
Mm-hmm.
And now, what is he? He's an Oregon Duck. That's
just apply for transfer. Left
team, yeah, because mm-hmm. Now, answer this question. If Terry Wilson signs in Nebraska, you think he's starting next fall? Because a few things happen here. One, Patrick Lee doesn't show up. Tanner Lee doesn't show up, I mean. Tanner Lee.
Okay. I was like, who's that Patrick Lee he's talking about?
Tanner O'Brien.
oh, there's an IRS name.
but think about this. Mike Riley has been a big deal about, hey, maybe we should look at, you know, a couple dual threats or add more running things. Terry Wilson, I've seen in my own two eyes in front of me, he can flat out fly. Okay, and he can throw the ball too. It's just interesting how that all kind of boils down, you know.
Sure.
And now it's funny is, you know, Nebraska doesn't really have a need for him, which is kind of
unique kinda situation to be in.
It's kind of odd how that works, isn't it? So, but we said we're going to go short. We're 45 minutes in.
And one more. Well, yeah, no, we'll just stop there.
How about this?
Yeah, my question was going to be nonsense. It was not going to be Husker related, and I just decided I'm going to hold on to it, and we can.
I do have one more question for you, though.
Oh no!
So who's the guy? And it happens every year. And I kind of try to go through. It was kind of a story idea. I kind of try to go through and look, but the stats don't really do well last, you know, for a few years. Who's the guy this year that is going to be an absolute stud in the spring game, that is going to be on every milk carton at your elementary school come October? There's always one guy. It's the Kerensky-Gillian Award.
Ah, man, that is a question that I am not prepared to answer.
There's always one guy. And I know they don't mean it to happen. I get that. There's always the one guy this happens to.
It's like they got the big push at the right time, and then they fizzled.
You know what's funny about
Kerensky Gillian? They're back on the undercard.
You know what's funny about Kerensky Gillian? He actually got signed by the Green Bay Packers.
Well, I never.
Because that dude is stupid fast. So. But, hey, that's another show. So.
Apparently it is. No, I don't have an answer for that one. I apologize. I wish I did. I suck at life.
You suck at life. You should feel bad. You know why I suck at life today?
What'd you do?
I forgot to eat lunch at work for the 3 trillionth time.
I wouldn't advise doing that, Bri.
Because, well, you get busy and you're like, oh, all of a sudden your stomach is being ripped up from the, you know, being turned inside out. And you're like, hey, guess what? You know. And then I went to dinner. I said, you know, I want a decent dinner. So you know where I went for dinner?
Oh, tell me where.
I went to Panera Bread.
Nothing wrong with Panera Bread.
Yeah. And I go, hey, can I get a pick two? Yeah, what would you like? I'd like mac and cheese. I'd like a little panini fresh steak sandwich, right?
Yeah, I'm on board.
And what would you like to drink? And what would you like to drink? A large Mountain Dew. Okay. And I'll tell you the total. They're like, oh, please pull forward. Okay. And I'm thinking, oh, it's not that much. And I pull up to the drive window, and it says, your total is this. And it was blank. And I'm like, okay. I look over. I get my card out of my wallet, and I look back, and the total is up there, and it's $16.
Yeehaw.
And I'm thinking to myself, what in the name of God did I just order?
What did you order, Bri?
I ordered a cup of freaking mac and cheese, a half a sandwich, which came with a baguette, I guess, and a 32-ounce Mountain Dew. So I look at the ticket. I'm like, what the hell? Sandwich is $5.49. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, $5.79. The rack of cheese was $5.
Damn.
Oh, they had the meal deal. The baguette was $1.
Yes.
And I'm like, wow, I paid $1 for a loaf of torn bread. Cool.
But you loved every minute of it.
And I the Mountain Dew was large, $2.49. I'm like, well, this is not cheap, Bob.
You wanna feel real silly?
I hate money, but it was good. I just hate money. What's that?
I paid $1.50 today for a cheese sandwich.
That's not bad. That's okay.
Well, I mean, you know, it's just because I ran out of time as far as making my own cheese sandwich at the house to take with me to work.
And you know what somebody brought to work the other day?
What?
Pimento cheese sandwiches.
That does not sound appealing.
It's a Southern thing. It's not bad. I mean, if you go to the Masters, you can eat a bucket of it.
Yeah, but who wants to go to the Masters?
I do. Okay. I would love to go to the Masters.
I actually have a coworker who typically goes to the Masters, but didn't this year. He says that like you can only go like one or two days. You can't just camp out there all. I mean, at least maybe those are the passes that he was willing to pay for. I don't know.
Yeah, I had a friend who went to Monday, and he got to walk the back nine and eat a bunch of food and cheap drinks.
I mean, it could be fun.
He said, man, the elevation change is insane. I go, insane? He goes, you have no idea how on TV. He goes, maybe see it off number 10 and 11, but the elevation change is incredible. So you can see I looked at some of his pictures, and yeah, it's like – walking up one, like he walked down lane one. Wow, lane one. He walked down the first fairway, and yeah, you're going down a couple stories, and there's some low points in that place. So I'd like to go just because I want to see. It's kind of like Mount Rushmore. You go to see it, be like, okay, you've seen it, cool. I mean, you got to think there's people there that live in Augusta that go there every year, and just like again. You're like, dude, I can go one time.
No, yeah.
I don't even want to play the course. I just want to go. Although playing the course would be great. Well, there's a woman that played in they have a media lottery after the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
She shot a 170.
That's not bad. I mean, when I went
and played golf, if I saw it right, it was 170.
When I went and played golf a couple weeks back, I shot a 50.
And what was your 10th hole?
No, I only played 9.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not great, but I like to get out there.
She goes, oh, I hit the ball great. And she wrote, I hit the ball great. I just couldn't putt with a snot because the greens are kind of deaf. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, I can see that. So.
All right. Well, that's it.
All right, fine. Your final thought?
Go Big Red.
My final thought, there's going to be at least one more commitment this weekend. Maybe two. I doubt two, probably at least one, and then we'll see probably something through the week. So
if we get three over the weekend, will you crap your pants?
I already did today, so.
Nice. All right. That's our go-home cue right there, folks. This has been episode 31 of the Five Heart Podcast. I just hope that between the time that incident occurred and now, Brian actually changed his shorts, but if not, hey, I'm in Illinois, and he's in Texas, and I don't have to smell it. So I'm Greg Mahochko. He's Brian Toll. As always, reminding you that Five Heart is all the heart you need. Go Big Red. Should be a good weekend.
Yeah.
There again, Monty from Gearing.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.